From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome back. Here we go on a busy Friday weekend edition of the program. Adrian Broaddus right across the glass, producing the show, screening your phone calls, one half of Sports Talk with yours truly. And we've got Alberto Urueta, who is all decked out in his FC Juarez gear. He's wearing crazy pants. Apparently, he's got a certain odor to him he's not happy about. Is that can you notice that stench, Adrian?
You know what? I don't notice the stench, but he told me he noticed the stench when he was getting over here, Steve. It was unfortunately in the Uber, apparently.
No, apparently it wasn't good. By the way, just out of curiosity, without getting into too much detail, Alberto, when you took that Uber ride, did the driver have 5 stars or close to it?
Yeah, he did. So it was like, what's going on here, Uber?
What's going on with you, man? Why is it that when you're getting into these ride shares, there's certain odors that you're picking up that shouldn't be happening? What's the deal?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I'm getting my car fixed. I went to pick it up right now. It all started yesterday when I ordered an Uber. I should have known something was going to be strange when the guy picking me up in an Uber had a 2-door BMW. A 2-door. I had to sit in the front with him. It was horrible.
Okay, first off, let me ask you this. Was it a nice 2-door? I mean, it's a Beamer, man. Was the 2-door Beamer nice?
It was more than nice. It had red leather interior. It was like brand spanking new. I was like...
Okay, let me ask you this. You said it was horrible because you were sitting in the front because it was a 2-door, not a 4-door. Do you just feel uncomfortable sitting next to a driver that you don't know in a rideshare?
Yeah, I think that made it really weird. And I mean, how many times have you sat when it's just you in the Uber? How many times have you sat in front with him?
Never, because you realize that I usually get 4 doors, not 2 doors. But I have sat in the front with a rideshare driver, Uber or Lyft, plenty of times when I'm with the family, and the vehicle doesn't have enough room for the three of us to cram into the back. So somebody's got to sit driver's side, and it's usually me, and it's fine. Like in Chicago, I was next to the driver for an hour and 20 minutes going from O'Hare to Midway because we had to go from one Chicago airport to the other. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a problem with it. Wasn't a big deal. But I get it. I mean, if you're uncomfortable and it's just a little, a little weird just because you're driving, you know, right there, passenger side next to a driver you've never met, I can understand that. But you give me a brand new red interior Beamer, I'm not going to be complaining. I'll be fine. I'll ask him if we could just start jamming the music out. Let's test the speaker system and see how things go.
Yeah, I guess that wasn't that bad. It was just, I was thrown off. I was like, a 2-door BMW brand new? I was like, dude, what happened? What went wrong?
Well, I mean, I don't know. What mean? What went wrong? I mean, well, the vehicle's, it's a nice vehicle. It's a nice ride. I mean, not everybody's going to be able to give you an Uber in a 4-door. I mean,
that's true. And even the
all right.
For his own sense, I was like, you want to be Ubering and you have everybody in front with you, dude?
Let me ask you this. Say you did an Uber ride, right? And somebody shows up in a new vet and is like asking you, and you're like, and you realize you're going to be sitting next to him in the vet. Are you complaining about that, riding in a vet?
I might complain a little. It's just it's like, why are you Ubering in a vet, dude? That's what throws me off. It's like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, I understand. I get what you're saying, but I can also tell you that there's a lot of people listening who would not be complaining if they were in that situation that you were in. Trust me. If people just realize that they take an Uber ride, somebody shows up in a brand new 2-door Beamer, and you have to sit next to the driver in cherry red leather interior, they're not going to be complaining that they're not in the back in a 4-door.
Yeah, it just threw me for a loop. I just wasn't expecting it. And then I haven't even stepped foot in the car. And I'm looking at it from outside. I'm like reacting to like, wow, really, a 2-door. You're going to Uber in a 2-door. You're going to pick me up in a 2-door. Now I have to sit in front. I open that car door. I get in. Get hit with just the absolute worst smell of my life.
In the 2-door Beamer?
Yes.
In a brand new 2-door Beamer?
I swear to God, it was like he had just defecated his pants. And I was like, dude, what?
In the Beamer?
Yes. And that's the thing. Like, the Beamer had the smell of a new car in the back, but in the forefront of that was a very powerful smell that I could not get over. And I could, it was even hard for me to keep a straight face. It was like,
all right, so let me make sure I get this right. You get into the car, brand new car, got to sit in the front, and you walk in, and the first thing you smell is poop.
Yeah, it was.
Really?
Yes, it smelled strong. It was just a really strong odor of something. I was like, something's not right. And I was just like, whatever, dude, just get me to work, please. Thank you.
How long was that drive?
I want to say like 12 minutes too long.
All right. All right.
Could have been worse, but.
By the way, this came in via text at 600 ESPN El Paso from Raul. It says, Alberto needs to stop being such a prima donna, snobby Houston guy.
He's not the one sitting in the fart car, but okay.
All right. So you're telling me that if he was in that situation, he would have been complaining just like you. He would. There's no way he would have been in that ride and been happy.
I didn't complain to the driver. I didn't even say anything. But he would have been telling his friends, like, I got in an Uber the other day, dude.
Yeah, but if you complain to the driver, then he's going to dock you points on your grade. And next thing you know, you're gonna go and lose some of your points. So
yep,
that's a really
–
yeah, that's a tough situation. That really is. Because you know that if you speak up, you will get your rating is going to go down. So I guess you just have to try to not breathe it in, not say a word, and then just get on the radio and complain about it after the fact.
Yeah, hopefully he's not a...
Hopefully he doesn't listen to sports talk.
Tune in, yeah.
Dude, if he listens to the show...
He's going
to
know who it is.
Oh, yeah, he's going to know who it is. Are you kidding? You're toast.
100%.
Man, I hope for your sake you're okay with this whole thing. But
sure, I'll be
that's
fine.
Why I was just kind of mentioning it, and I was generalizing it, and then you started describing the vehicle to a T, and, you know, I mean, next thing you know, you're kind
away.
Of spilled... Well, I'm sure it blew you away in a lot of regards, that's for sure. Was the air conditioner on at least?
No, yeah, it was ice cold. And that's the thing. I was like, it's not even filtering any of this out. I was like, what the? I'm just excited. I want to get my mind off of this. I'm excited for some UTEP football.
Man.
I keep hearing about the sneak peek a couple people got.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. A couple people means that's me and Adrian.
I got a text from another person who got to go back there, and they described it, quote, unquote, directly as overwhelming.
Yeah.
That's how much stuff they have.
I love it. By the way, I'm going to ask our next guest, who's one of our celebrity coaches, if he's ever been in a situation like yours. I'm going to ask Adrian also this. Okay, so you're in a rideshare.
Yes.
It's a two-door car.
Okay.
Brand new. Okay? Number one, you're asked to sit in the front because it's a two-door. You get in the front, and the first thing you notice is a very, very strange smell. Not a pleasant smell. A bad smell. Question is, what do you do if you're in that situation? Because that just happened to this man. Alberto was just in that spot.
Can windows be rolled down?
The air is on. It's cool. I mean, you know, you're in a brand new two-door Beamer. I mean, you tell me. But all of a sudden, the odor is just brutal. So what do you do?
Yeah, I have to say, I think, you know what? I'm going to get another share, a ride share. I'm going to cancel this one right here. I'll take the fee. I'll take the, you know, $2-$3.
You'll take the hit.
Yeah, you know, man, I'm the guy who gets motion sick. So if I get the bad odor in the car, I'm not in a good place.
Like, you're not going with that.
No.
By the way, wouldn't your rating get docked? Like, if you take the hit, and you just ask for a new car, a new ride because the odor is just too powerful for you. Wouldn't the driver just? Wouldn't he just nail you on your rating?
Maybe so. But you
is
know,
it
what?
Worth
I'll take
it?
The hit. Yes, I'll
is
take
it
the
worth
hit.
It?
I will take the hit. I got the Eclipse recently. There was like you've had over 100 rides on Uber recently. So if they don't want to pick up me because of my rating, then that's their problem, right?
What's your Uber rating?
Let me check right now.
I'm curious to see what yours is. Because I'm wondering if anybody's ever rated.
Imagine it's like rude, you know, loud,
yeah,
you
just
know,
a
stuff
real,
like that.
Yeah, just a jerk, you know, anything like that. I'd love to know what yours is. Because I'll tell you right now, mine.
Oh, I got it.
I'm a 4.93.
Ooh, you're better than me, Steve. I'm a 4.84.
Oh.
Shouldn't have canceled enough.
Man.
I probably canceled too many times.
What about Alberto? What's your rating?
I'm going to check mine. I've literally never even checked mine. I'm a good person. I don't even do anything. I'm a 4.95.
Wow. $4.95. Well, let's see if that rating. Let's see if that rating dips between now and the end of the show.
I deserve what I got. I did not deserve what I got.
If that driver tries to go ahead and take a shot at you, I don't know. We'll see. By the way, Pinky at Santa Teresa is listening. It says that Alberto's like in a Seinfeld episode. Yeah, it's exactly right.
I think that's like, I saw something today. We were at the grand opening at Chiba Hut, and I saw an interaction with Alberto, and it was out of a Seinfeld episode. It was straight up out of a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, Alberto is kind of like Seinfeld in a way. Well, actually, would you say he's kind of more like Costanza?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
He is. He's kind of like our
Not Kramer.
No, he's like our George Costanza.
He's
here at
Costanza.
The radio station.
He's 100% Costanza.
That's 100% correct. But that's tough, man. That is tough. Hey, bring Q Dempsey here. I want to ask him if he's ever been in a situation like this and what he's done. So, I mean, pop in. I mean, don't, you know, just talking from a distance. Grab. You've been on the show enough. Put those headphones on. I'll plug you in. You get on the show, and then you can tell me the answer, the honest to God truth. All right. So, hang on. Yeah, let me plug you in so you can actually hear what we're talking about on the show. First off, welcome back, man. How you doing,
man.
Coach
Give
Q?
Me on the show, baby.
Coach Q. Who's going to spend a lot of time with us this hour? Okay. So here's the deal. All right. As a longtime professional athlete, I'm sure you've taken plenty of ride shares in your life.
Yep.
Okay. If you go and a two-door arrives, do you sit passenger seat or do you try to get in the back? What do you normally do if it's a two-door situation?
I have never, ever experienced a two-door Uber.
Well, guess what? Let's say you
never.
Do. Let's say it happens. Say you're in a two-door Uber. Where are you going? Front seat, passenger side, or just going to climb into the back?
Well, I counsel. You can see the car on the thing. I'm not getting no two-door Uber.
Yeah, that's a good point. Alberto, didn't it show you that it was a two-door when you were getting the ride? And you didn't cancel it?
That's too intimate. It showed me that it was a BMW, and I was just like, oh, dude, I don't have time to cancel Ubers. I can't my rating can't take a hit. Like, I was just like,
gotcha.
Whatever. And okay. It was almost a level of disbelief. I was like, surely no one is Ubering in a two-door, in a two-door. Like, it's just, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it don't make sense.
So he goes into the two-door, right?
Uh-huh.
And the first thing he gets is this huge whiff of, like, poop. That's in the car. So then what do? So now all of a sudden, you're stuck in the two-door in the passenger side. Mm-hmm. You get a whiff of something that you realize is just brutal. You don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
Brand new car, by the way.
Yeah.
And you know that if you cancel that ride on the spot, you're probably going to get some knocks from the driver who's probably going to, even if you pay the ride and say, dude, I can't take this. Something's wrong here. And the guy's going to take points off you. So what do? Do you do what Alberto did and you just suck it up? You take the ride and you complain when you get on the radio, hear about how terrible it is? Or do you get out of it and you go do something else? What do?
I don't care about no Uber ratings. I'm getting out the car, man. You can cancel. I paid $10 to get out. I'm not finna. How far you ride, Alberto? I hope you didn't go 35 minutes like that.
I went like 12, 15, man. 15
that's too long. Nope. I'm out the car, man. Matter of fact, I just had an Uber experience today from the airport and it's stinking there. Thank God I had my mask. I put my mask on.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe the moral of the story is carry a mask because, number one, people still wear them.
Yes.
And number two, if you ever have an odor in a ride share that you can't handle, you just immediately put the mask on. Driver's respecting that, thinking, okay, he's conscious about all the stuff, and you're protecting your nose so that you don't have to breathe that stuff in.
That's right. It was Uber XL, too. I was like, man, how does this car smell?
Dang. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Alberto, do you feel like that's where you made the biggest mistake? You weren't carrying a mask, and you should have just had that thing ready to go and put it on?
Yeah, I should. I need to carry. I'm going to fill my backpack up because this happened yesterday. I get into an Uber today. Didn't smell too pleasant in there either. So I'm like,
is that an El Paso thing?
That's what I'm thinking. You said it. I was like, maybe it's an El Paso thing. They're just ripping butt in the
Is it possible?
The thing.
Dude, is it possible it's you? Because think about this now. You've had two rides in a row.
I know it
and you've
me.
And you both said the smell is strange on both rides. Is it possible that something's wrong with you and you don't even realize it and it's now affecting? Maybe the driver thinks it's you that's the problem. What do you got?
I don't think it's me because I've been in other cars recently and it doesn't smell like that.
All right.
That's the one where I'm like, well, if it were me, I'd smell like this all the time.
Got it. I understand. All right, look. It's not the way I was expecting to start the show, but I had to. I couldn't resist. We got a lot to talk about. Q Demps is here.
Yes, sir.
He's going to be one of our celebrity coaches tomorrow at the spring game. Also, we had the chance, when I say we, I mean Adrian and myself, had the chance to go to the garage sale and get a sneak preview. And they were setting it up. We took a look. It is, without a doubt, and this is not trying to sell the garage sale to you, but I'm just telling you right now, this is the greatest UTEP game-used merch experience you will ever have in your life, guaranteed. Guaranteed. You will never see anything like this. You will never have a chance to own anything quite like what we saw a little more than an hour ago, Adrian.
You have prices that range from $5, $10, $15. You got hoodies, quarter zips, hats ranging from $15 all the way to $30. Then jerseys, softball, cross country, women's basketball starting at $50. Men's basketball, $75. Football jerseys. I saw some number 9 jerseys.
No,
Quentin
don't
Dems.
Play. Do
I'm not
play.
Kidding. We saw them.
Oh, it's a wrap.
We saw them.
Wait, wait, what, you, what, years, what, years did you, what years did you play?
03 to 08.
Guaranteed your jerseys were there.
I need those nines. Nobody buy those nines.
And I'm telling you what, and I'm telling you right now, those jerseys were from your playing days. They were
mine.
Yeah, well, do you own them? Did they give you your jerseys?
I'm going to get them tomorrow.
I was going to say.
Adrian, make sure I get them tomorrow, man. If you get there first, buy them, I'll give you money back or something.
All right.
I'm not going to be there early.
Fair enough.
But Steve might be there.
I will be there early.
What time does it start?
Well, the garage sale?
Yeah.
Garage sale is going to start 10 minutes after the game is over, but I'll make a make a phone call and see if we can get you. If,
okay.
if those jerseys from your playing days are there, we'll work on that.
Okay.
All right. Have you been to UTEP today?
No, I just got in.
Okay. Q
Fresh
Demps,
off the flight.
I love that. Coach Q is with us right now. We'll come back. Plenty more to talk about as we get going here on a fun Friday. But let's go right now over to Charlie Wan to get this traffic update. My apologies. You probably get new appreciation for Alberto and what he had to endure. That was not fun at all. In fact, El Paso Visual said Adrian is down to take the money hit by canceling Uber fees. Apparently, everyone is made of money at 600 ESPN El Paso.
It's $1.50, dude. Come on. I love it. I love Ivan. That's good stuff.
Hey, by the way, when you cancel, like if a ride shows up and you cancel it when they arrive, you still have to pay the full ride fee and get a new one, right?
Sometimes I've disputed it. Sometimes they only charge you, you know, a couple dollars here and there. But
really?
Sometimes, yes, they do make you pay the full.
Wow. I mean, I've never seen that. Have you ever canceled a ride before, Q?
No,
Coach
I'm
Q?
On. I'm not on.
Oh, yeah, you're on. Oh, yeah, you're on.
I can't hear myself.
Oh, hang on. I took you. Now, there you go. Now I can
hear
yourself.
Yeah. There we go.
Have you ever had to cancel a ride?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sometimes.
When you've canceled a ride, have you paid for the full ride, or do you just have to pay a couple bucks and then you get a new one? How does it work?
I've done both.
Okay.
I've done both. Well, I canceled it last minute.
Got
two,
it.
Yeah. And then just get a new rider.
Yeah,
to pay the
like
pay the whole thing, but
yeah,
mostly it's just $5 you got to pay. If
yeah.
You cancel it too late.
That's not so bad.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, welcome back to town.
Man, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate that.
It's so weird because I think of you as Quentin Demps because I've interviewed you since your playing days at UTEP, really, when you were here. But now you're Coach Q.
That's right.
And by the way, Coach Q, it just kind of rolls off the tongue.
It's like,
it's
cool, right?
Yeah, it is cool.
I feel
like
Coach Demps takes a little bit more, you know.
Yeah, Coach D's not any good. Coach Q is cool.
Yeah, Coach Demps is okay.
But I mean, it's fine, but I mean, I don't know. You did go by Q Demps during your days, so
right.
Coach Q does make a lot of sense.
That's it. That's it, man. Yeah.
And there aren't too many Coach Qs in sports.
Yeah, it's a few of them that I know of. You know, it's a few in Chicago that I know. I know one in Chicago for sure, but.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
is he also Quentin like you?
I don't know. I think it's Quincy.
Quincy?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, so.
But anyway, catch us up on what we've been missing for you since we last saw you, and what's happening as you get ready to be a part of the spring game tomorrow.
Yeah, man. So I'm a head coach in Chicago. Well, in Elgin, Illinois. You know, right now we actually in spring ball as well.
Okay.
I'm actually missing practice tomorrow to be here, man. I couldn't pass this up. I had to come, man. So, yeah, man. So we recruiting really hard. Turn this thing around, man. Shout out to my guys at Judson, man. My staff, man. Them guys, something's going on, man. Like the culture is shifting, you know. Everybody's buying in, man. And some specials happening, man. I'm calling the defense now, which I probably could be helping, you know. But anyway, I'm calling the defense now. Right, Adrian? I'm calling the defense now.
I like that.
So I'm excited about that, man. But, yeah, man, just stand to it, man. Just grinding, man, especially during this time. As UTEP coaches know that, you know, spring ball, man, so we got to get better every day.
How excited are you for tomorrow? Because you get to see a bunch of former players, not to mention also a whole new coaching staff.
I'm just excited, man, to be a part of it, man. Like, just to feel like I'm an alumni, that I'm respected, that I feel like, you know, he reached out to me, man, just being a part of your alma mater, man, is important for guys, especially when you play in the league, man. So just, it don't matter about any other thing, man. Just, I'm a part of this school. That's special to me, man. That's important to me.
What does it mean to have somebody reach out to you? I mean, just as simple as that. We find it simple, and maybe it's because we value relationships so highly, but to have somebody reach out to you from UTEP, what did that mean to you?
Man, it means a lot, man. It means everything. And it's so crazy, man, because I was on a visit in El Paso, and when he got hired, and I seen him in the hallway, and we, you know, it was like, man, I've known him forever. And then we exchanged numbers. I text him. He texts right back. So that's just, to me, man, that's just big-time stuff, man. That just shows the kind of guy we have leading this program, man. And I'm excited, man. I got his back. I'm 10 toes down with him. And, let's go Miners.
We've asked you this over the years, and you're not the only one to say it, but there has been a disconnect with former players and the program over the years. I know you stayed close to Nate Poss because Nate's been
absolutely
basically keeping in touch with every former athlete since their playing days. But is this really the first time in a while where you're back, but you feel now you feel a part of this?
Absolutely, man. Well, I left in 08, and we probably had, what, three head coaches during that time, between 08 and 24 or 4?
Let me think. First was Mike Price, right? And after Mike Price.
Oh, Price came back, but I don't really count.
So since Price, mm-hmm. it was Sean Coogler mm-hmm. and Dana Dimmel. That's it. Two coaches.
That's it? Oh, yeah. And I didn't feel welcomed by any of them. I mean, I love Dana to death, but if I didn't have the Coach Price connection, man, it'd be nothing here. Mm-hmm. So, man, shout out to Scotty, man, and his staff, man. Shout out to Jim, man, for selecting him as the head coach. Real talk, man.
Good.
Yeah,
so, anyway.
Seriously.
And there's probably going to be some guys that you haven't seen since your playing days that are going to be back here tomorrow.
Absolutely. I'm excited to see Johnny Lee. Hopefully Johnny's in town. That'd be cool. See Johnny Lee.
Wow. Yeah, Johnny, that's a great name. That's
Johnny Lee Higgins.
Your boy Cornelius was with us.
Oh, yeah, I see him all the time. Cornelius. I see him all the time. That's my boy. We talk all the time, too. But, yeah, it'd be cool to see Johnny Lee Higgins, man. I ain't seen him in a while. Josh Ferguson, man, those guys. Jordan Palmer, you know. It'd be cool to see them guys.
So I don't know if I don't think Jordan's going to be here this year, but hopefully he's back next year or the year after. And then this keeps growing and growing because when you guys are going to go tomorrow, a lot of you are going to say, you know what? This was so good.
Yeah.
We want to be back here every year and just be a part of this.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. It feels good though, man, because Scotty actually offered me to be the head coach of it, Adrian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I could. But the NCAA said I can't really coach in it because I'm actually a head coach.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But yeah, man, just like I said, man, just being on the sideline, just being involved, just, man, having them reach out, man, means a lot.
Hey, Q, I'll throw this your way. I heard this from earlier. Cornelius actually told us this, and I heard this also from A.J. Hotchkins. The alumni were invited today for the walkthrough at practice. They actually got a chance to speak, which is something that the alumni said had never really happened before, like actually address the team.
Yeah.
And they said that meant so much to them because you had different players from different generations.
Yeah.
You had Paul Smith there who played in the 90s. You had Julio Lopez there, who currently is the head coach out at Eastwood High School for the football team.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the sideline as well. So it's really encouraging to see this football staff embrace the alumni and want those alumni to actually give a speech to these players.
Wow, that's amazing. I know I did chapel last year, though, under Dana. So that was cool, though. But, again, like Coach Posse has kind of plugged me with that, but yeah, I mean that's important. That's huge.
Trevor Vidito will be on your
team. Yeah, I just saw him, man. I just left speaking to Irvin High School.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he's coaching at Irvin right now, man. Just went to drop some wisdom on them.
I like that.
Yeah, give him some game, man. Some life nuggets.
Nathan Jeffrey's going to be on the blue team also. Was he there when you were there or no?
I got it.
He's right before Aaron Jones. Right before Aaron Jones.
Okay,
so a little after your time.
A little after. That's fine. I mean, I'm trying to get the timeline looking at this orange and blue team to see if there's others that had a chance to play alongside you or
what's Aaron doing? He's not coming. He's in training camp. Well, OTAs probably.
Yeah, I think that's
Minnesota's.
They're working out.
Yeah, Minnesota's keeping him real busy. But I do know it's his son's birthday this weekend,
yeah,
so
nice,
he might be
nice.
Celebrating a birthday.
Okay, perfect.
There you go. Now there's 25 altogether, and like you said, maybe this is the start, and then after
this,
keep going from there.
That's right, man.
All right, I'm excited.
Me too.
All right. More with Q as we continue right now. But first, let's go to Adrian and get this bottom of the hour Sports Center update. 505-6009. Coach Q with us. Quentin Demps, who is, again, back in town. He's going to be one of these celebrity coaches for the spring game tomorrow, which, again, the orange and blue. You've got the biggest garage sale ever coming up right at the end. They're going to, by the way, they're going to start it 10 minutes after the game is over. And I believe we were talking about, you know, the pricing, because items are going to be as little as $5. They're going to go up to $100 for game-used jerseys.
Okay.
Q, I got to tell you something.
Yep.
I saw jerseys today from the early 90s all the way until the end of the Nike run, which was right before last season. They had every jersey imaginable there.
Really?
And all of them are gamers. It's incredible.
Wow.
So stuff in, I mean, we're talking about stuff, when I say early 90s, I mean, they were in the whack. It's that old school orange and blue before they changed the color. This is before Lee Mays.
Wow.
This is, we're talking Toronto Singleton era.
Okay.
That's how long it's been.
Apparently, they found a Lee Mays jersey. And apparently, they found even jerseys that had names on the back of the jerseys from the 80s, or excuse me, from the 90s, and from maybe a little bit in the late 90s in that part as well.
That's
cool, man. How cool is that, right?
That's really cool.
I do have a UTEP right now looking through the batch of jerseys during your playing career to see if they could find some number nines.
Nice. Appreciate that.
So when you left UTEP, did you get any jerseys, or you don't even know if you had a UTEP jersey?
I didn't get anything, man.
No, so this would be the first time you would ever have a chance to have your college jersey.
First time.
Wow.
First time.
You have a lot of your other jerseys. You have Bears jerseys, Eagles jerseys, Chiefs
NFL,
jerseys.
Yeah, NFL lets you get them things when you're done, you know.
When you say when you're done, meaning when you're like done with a team.
Some teams let you buy them. You can buy, you got to buy them.
From the NFL? The NFL doesn't just give you jerseys?
No, the Texans have been lately. They sent me some. They shipped me some stuff because I'm part of the Legends group for the Texans. But
what about your playing career?
Earlier on, we had to buy them.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, so like, let's, for example, take us back. When you were with the Bears, did you have to buy your Bears jersey?
I still haven't. Yeah.
Giants?
You put your name on a list. If I want my jersey, they took it out your check. Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Giants, same thing.
I didn't get my Giants stuff.
You didn't? Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
I had a bad year that year. That was the
don't want to remember. Remember that one?
Yeah,
that jersey's
that
a jersey,
a
man.
That wasn't a good team.
Yeah, I know it wasn't a bad team.
But would you take a jersey now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely matured and, you know, past that stuff. But
was Will Hernandez on that team?
Nah.
That was before Will.
Yeah, I was way before Will. What was at UTEP probably? Or probably in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
What year was it? Giants for
14, 13. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, 13, 14.
All right, he was probably still UTEP in those days.
Yeah, 14.
That makes
maybe
that
like a freshman
sense.
That year.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
all right.
Man, yeah.
I got you. All right, so I didn't realize that you actually have to buy your jerseys. You know, and the reason I ask you is because, you know, when you see these guys swap jerseys after a football game, when they'll trade their game jersey and then they'll get the other person's jersey.
Yeah.
Are they actually, like, they get docked for their paychecks when they swap jerseys like that after games?
Yes. They tell us not to do that unless, I mean, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
But if you
I don't know now. Yeah. Now it may be somewhere it's just whatever because it's so popular. But back when I played, it was like, don't do that. If you do it, you're going to pay for it. You know?
Interesting. Right.
Yeah.
Quentin, this draft that's coming up next week could be the first time a UTEP player is drafted since you were drafted. On defense specifically.
Oh, defense. Because Will. Will
yeah,
and Aaron.
Aaron was drafted. Right. Aaron was drafted.
Oh, defense, though.
But defense. And
that's
it's,
nice.
We're talking about a draft.
I'm pulling for T-Knight so bad.
Wait, but Roy Robertson Harris wasn't drafted?
Right. He was an undrafted free agent.
He's
really?
Still playing, too.
And
right?
He's still playing, yeah. And he's making a difference.
And
Nick
the same
Needham
thing for
was
Nick
not.
Needham.
Yeah.
Can you believe that you were the last UTEP football player on defense that was drafted?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, right.
We need more guys in the league, right?
I think you finished up a few years after Thomas Howard.
03.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
No, 08. I got drafted in 08. Right. Thomas left the year before me.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Thomas was drafted by Cincinnati.
Yep.
And then you were drafted the following year by the Eagles.
By Eagles. And then, that's right. That's right. Man. Me and T. Howard, yeah.
Crazy.
Adrian Ward. He went seventh round.
I'll check on that, yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah, he went seventh round.
Before. What year?
I think the same as T. Howard, maybe.
Right, but you were
he went
after,
to the Vikings seventh round.
But you were after.
Oh yeah,
guys,
it's 2005, right?
Yeah,
man. That's 2005.
Yep. Yeah.
But you were after.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So you're still the last defensive player to have been drafted by UTEP.
Or was even Adrian probably wasn't even drafted, was he? Was he Adrian?
He was. Seventh round.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so I was the last one to go. Right. That's cool. That's cool, man.
Wow.
That's, yeah, that's cool.
All right. That is cool.
Well, hopefully T-Knight breaks that.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
That would be great. By the way, he is.
He's good.
When you had your pro day, do you still remember your UTEP pro day?
Yeah, I do. I remember for sure.
Tell me a little bit about it, all the scouts that were there and
people
watching you work out and what that was like.
I was big time, man. I ran a 4.3 at the combine. I didn't work out at UTEP pro day.
So you didn't do it. What did you do at UTEP pro day?
I came back with my Gucci hat on, man, and chilled out.
That was it.
How cool is that? What were you like, 22?
Yeah, 22 years old. If I didn't run a 4.3, I would have came and performed. But back in the day, man, a safety running a 4.3 meant a lot.
Yeah, it did.
That showed a lot. Like a safety running a 4.3, that was like big time back then.
Okay, so in other words, when you run the 4.3, you're done. You're like, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't need to do a thing. You showed up in your Gucci hat.
Yep.
Did you talk to NFL teams at the pro day? Did you even go to the UTEP pro day?
Yeah, I went for sure.
Or did you skip it?
No, I went to support my guys for
sure. Okay.
But yeah,
who else was in that class of players?
O'Neal Cousins, Marcus Thomas. Those are the two I know off top. I remember off top.
Okay.
I can think about some other ones, but those two off top I remember. Because O'Neal went third round. He went before
me. Did he go Baltimore?
Yeah, before me. He went third round.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he went third round.
Kenny Phillips went that year?
That's right. Safeties, yep. Kenny Phillips, Barnett. Who else?
Tyrell Johnson
went second round. Yeah.
Do you get mad that you were a fourth round guy, or you kind of feel like?
I was pissed.
Really?
Yeah, I ran a 4.3. I thought I was going second, third round. I thought I was going first day. Remember back in the day, it was 2 days, right?
Yep. Who was your agent when you were drafted?
You get me back to bad.
Oh, choices. Really? Oh, so you don't
Brian,
even like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Brian Overstreet. I wouldn't say I didn't like him, man.
Was he telling you, hey, you're going to be first, second round?
No, definitely not first.
Yeah.
But I thought we had both. Everybody had thought I had at least went up to second because of the 4.3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? You still had a great career.
I just knew I would get drafted, though. That was freeing or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere. Even if I go seventh round, I know I'm going to get drafted.
But you just didn't know exactly where. Who else besides the Eagles really liked you out of college?
The Cardinals. I had two interviews at the combine, Eagles and the Cardinals. Yep. And I remember like yesterday, man. I walked in the Eagles interview. Andy Reid, Sean McDermott was sitting in there. You know, and I was swaggy. I was swaggy back then, Adrian.
Really?
I was so swaggy. I walked in there so like, man, what my jersey at? Where my stuff at?
Really?
Yeah,
that's what you said to those guys.
They love that, though. Like, Andy Reid loves players, man, being themselves.
I got you.
Like, that's kind of what I do as a head coach, man. I got this from him, right? Like, be yourself, your true self.
Yeah, you were never
it's a
lacking.
Personality show.
You were never lacking confidence, were you?
Yeah, I was. I did. After I got cut twice.
But I mean, in those days when you were going into the draft interview asking about your jersey, that's not somebody lacking confidence.
That's right. My first 2 years in the league, man, I was cocky. Yeah. Like I was confident, and then I got cut, man. And I began to. I'm like, man, I lost my confidence. I got it back though, but I did, man.
It was a reality.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd ever get cut. I'm like, man, I cannot get cut. 53 guys, they ain't never cut me. But I didn't know the other side of the game where. Mm-hmm. You know, special team guy. You got all that kind of stuff. So,
how crazy is the character tests? Did you get to do those and all that?
You talking about the Wonderlic?
Yeah, the Wonderlic test.
Yeah, I did that. I did that.
Was it weird? Or were the questions weird?
It was like SAT almost. It was dumb.
Were the interview questions weird? At the interviews were they pretty normal?
Pretty normal. I think the crazy one was it was like hey, if Brian Dawkins is in the locker room and he hears you cuss and he tells you don't cuss. What are you going to do? I'm like, man, that's Brian Dawkins. I'm gonna shut my mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. That's a great story.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
That is interesting.
Because he's a big man of God at the time.
Sure.
Yeah, especially still is to this day. So
I like that.
They knew he didn't cuss. And, all that
and, they're,
kind of
and, they're, and they're already wanting to test you in the locker room. They want to know if you're going to be the kind of guy that's going to start a fight or if you're the kind of guy that's going to say, okay, fine.
That's right. So that was a good question.
That's a very good question. Yeah. I like that.
To see Andy Reid have all this success, what is it? Yeah. Did you see it coming?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, man, he's a great man. Like, players play for him. Like, we play for him, man. We love him. Like, it's grown man stuff over there. Like, ain't no dress code. I got to wear white socks. I got to wear a tie. Like, man, hey, be who you are, but make sure you show up and handle your business. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all you can ask for at that level.
You probably are thrilled with what you've seen from him over the
Absolutely,
years, especially
man.
In Kansas City.
That's my guy, man. Yeah. He brought me in this thing. And it's a UTEP tie, too.
Absolutely, you know? Right.
So even with Dave Tobe, too.
Mm-hmm.
I had my best year returning kicks. He was a special team coach.
And he's still with Andy Reid all these years later.
Man, that loyalty, man.
It's amazing.
Andy Reid is like a mob boss to me.
We're coming back. More with Coach Q as we continue. Stay with us. Sports Talk Back 600 ESPN El Paso. There you go. I don't know what you did. You hit a button. Congratulations. You hit a button. I could finally hear myself. And now I feel like we're back on the air. That is a beautiful thing. Welcome back, everybody, as we continue. Start of hour number two. We've got Alberto running the show for Adrian the rest of the way out. I'm Steve Kaplow. It's good to have you back. And UTEP spring game is tomorrow. We're excited about this. We're excited about having two members of the UTEP football team with us here for the first time. And first off, we've got Otis Pitts, UTEP offensive lineman, who's going to be talking about a wing-eating contest, Coach. You're going to love this. It's going to be good. J.J. Clark, also the UTEP defensive coordinator, with us as well. Coach, appreciate it. If you guys can move those microphones a little closer to you, welcome aboard, and good to have you both here. Coach, first off, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. And Otis, how are you doing?
Elite. Thank you for having me.
Good. I like that. It's always good being elite. That is terrific. Gentlemen, we've finished 14 practices. We've got one left, and it's the big one tomorrow. 10 a.m., the start of the spring game. Coach, you tell me, your first chance to really be with this defense since you arrived with all the individual workouts and watching guys on tape. What has impressed you the most about what you've seen over the last month plus with this group?
Man, I think the thing that's really impressed me the most has been the improvement. Going back and, you know, this week with our defensive staff, watching some things from week one now to week five, from opportunity one to opportunity 14, and the way these guys have bought into coaching and made incremental growth through every day, not just on the practice field, but also in the meeting room, in our run-throughs. They've taken advantage of every opportunity. It's been really cool to see guys, just how little improvements have stacked up to really lead to, I think, some major growth over 14 practices.
You know, it's one thing hearing about the offense and what it does, but that defense also has to be ready to go, has to be in terrific form, because, as I've said, if that offense goes up and down the field and scores quickly, then that means that every game, time of possession is always going to go to the opposition, which means your defense is going to be out on the field longer than the UTEP offense will. If things are clicking, that's the way it's supposed to be. From a conditioning standpoint, are you pretty pleased with what you've had a chance to see so far?
Yeah, I really am, and I think it's a huge testament to our strength and conditioning program with Chris Campbell. I think he's the best in the country. The way that he gets our guys prepared to play college football. You know, we're not training to be cross-country runners. We're not training to be Olympic lifters or power lifters. We want to be Division I college football players that play in a program that's committed to playing with tempo, and it is a true programmatic commitment to that. And because of that, I think defensively we're prepared to answer the bell whenever that happens. Whether the offense is going three and out, God forbid, they don't do that a whole lot, mm-hmm. or they're scoring quickly.
Yeah, and as far as tempo goes, when you talk about defensive tempo, let's talk about that as well.
Yeah, you know, we're fortunate. We get to practice against, I think, one of the fastest offenses in the country. You know, we were able to go play up in Knoxville last year when we were at Austin Peay, the University of Tennessee, who's, you know, known for their tempo. We're in a kind of a similar system. And, you know, I remember going through the third series and looking around, like, hey, man, how are we handling with the tempo? Guys, like, man, this is just like practice, like our offense. Shoot, I think our offense goes faster. So it's a huge advantage for us. Because guys have to, one, they've got to be in great shape, but then also I think cognitively that's a piece defensively too. You're going to have to identify formations, make calls, make checks. We have a saying, man, you've got to know and know that you know, because if you have any hesitation, that ball is getting snapped and you're not ready to play.
That's true. Coach, when we talk also about this defensive unit as a whole, what's the biggest difference from what you've seen player-wise from now here at UTEP to what you've had the last couple of seasons at Austin Peay?
Man, that's a really good question. I think one of the fun things about, especially about this winter and this spring, is it has been a totally new slate. And that's something that's been different, kind of being in an established program where there's some habits and things that are formed, some good, some bad, where here it's truly a clean slate. And that's been really fun to be at the ground level and build from ground zero. Like just even little things from how we do things in the meeting room to, you know, how we do our individual stuff. Like that has been really, that's been different, but that's been really fun, really rewarding.
I was going to ask you, size-wise, is this a bigger defense than what you've had in the past, or is this about along the same lines of what you're used to coaching?
I'd say it's bigger. It's certainly bigger. I think the biggest difference is up front, our defensive linemen. But size is important, but also, you know, there's Kirby Smart has a famous quote. There's a reason that the size of defensive players in college football has gone down in the last 10 to 15 years because the game is played in space, and you want to match space with speed. So size certainly going to be important, especially for us in that box up front. But we also want to be able to have great athletes and guys that can have great range and cover a lot of ground.
I know you're going to be deep at a lot of positions, but I heard that defensive line, top to bottom, is about as stacked as you're going to find in this league.
Yeah, I mean, you go down the list, and there have been guys who've had tremendous springs and guys who I think are just – set themselves in position to have great falls. I think a guy like Sione, Logo, Vita. I think of even a newcomer like Devin Gorey, Mr. Consistent, Katie. I mean, you can go down the list. Those guys have had great springs. They've worked really hard. We're really excited about that unit. And I'd be remiss not to mention Chris Jones, who I think does a phenomenal job with his players, not only developing technique, developing a mindset of how you want to play up front, but then also providing his guys with an elite level of care.
Meanwhile, you also have your linebackers, your defensive backs. Tell us a little bit about some of the players that have impressed you here this spring at some of those spots.
Yeah, I coach our linebackers. I'll start with them, but also, our outside linebacker, our bandit spot. That's really going to be a kind of a hybrid defensive end, hybrid overhang. Do a lot of different things with that guy, and it starts with Mo Westmoreland. You know, he's a phenomenal talent, and what I love about Mo is that he is a true worker. He doesn't come to the facility expecting things, man. That dude freaking works, and I noticed it during phase two. Excuse me, when our guys are in there lifting, power cleaning, and squatting after some really hard running workouts, and he's got freaking five plates on the bar, and he's doing some slow eccentric squats, and he's freaking getting after it. And I was like, all right, this is my kind of guy. So he's been really impressive in the linebacker room. Nate Diamond has had a tremendous spring. He's been really productive. I think what sticks out about Nate is just how hard he plays. A word we use a lot is strain, putting your body under severe demand. Nate does a tremendous job of that. We got a newcomer, Trey Dunson, who is incredibly athletic, flies around. He's honing in his technique, and he's had a really good spring. And then guys who have been on the roster, guys like Jay Cole, has been steady in the boat, Kenny Bird, Josh Phillips, and then even a newcomer, Trace Meadows, who's an early enrollee, who's made tremendous strides over the spring.
We've seen Trace on social media. He's definitely made a name for himself when it comes to promoting the brand. But Trey Dunson joined us earlier in the week. He was here with Coach Walden, and we had a chance to talk to him. And, again, great example of going from a small school here, getting an opportunity to come to UTEP, and when Coach talked about him, he said the reason he wanted Dunson is he played against him, realized, and you know just very well what kind of an impact he had going opposite you when you were playing at Austin Peay.
Yeah, and it was funny because normally, you know, if you're on the field versus a defense, you don't get to watch a whole lot of the offense. Well, we received that kick against Gardner Webb. I remember it plain as day, and he's wearing number zero, and they go, the Gardner Webb defense comes on the field, and I talking to the guys up in the box, I'm like, who the heck is number zero? That dude looks like a freak. And then sure enough, first three plays, he's running around smacking ball carriers. I was like, good night. So, when we got the job and he was in the portal, I was like, hey, I remember that kid. Yeah. So he's done a tremendous job. I feel bad. I should have mentioned our defensive backfield, man. They've had a tremendous spring, capped off Opportunity 14 with a great practice. Guys like Corey Chapman, Xavier Smith, Jalen Shelton, another newcomer who's been phenomenal. A.J. Odoms, who's a known commodity here, has had a really good spring. Yesmin Green, Oscar Moore has been awesome. He's one that's had astronomical growth throughout the spring. Incredibly talented, and he's got the mindset that you want for safety. And then a guy like Lance Russell, too. So I'm excited with that position group as well.
Is this defense, which, by the way, the last couple of years was good. It kept UTEP in a lot of football games, made plays, caused turnovers. Will it look a lot different than what we've seen the last couple of years when you guys line up starting tomorrow?
It'll certainly look a little bit different structurally. You know, I know Coach Pivito. I think he did a tremendous job with this group, and but there's also going to be some new things to it. Some things that we bring that are going to be different, and you're going to see that. And you know, we talk about all the time as a program, fearless, fast, physical. That's our brand of football. Well, we think on defense, we've got to ride for the brand. That has to be who we are. If we're not those things, and it's going to be really hard for our program to be those things. So apart from scheme, apart from anything like that, we want to be a unit on that side of the football that exemplifies the brand.
What's it like lining up against Otis here on the offensive line? You tell me what that's been like.
Shoot, man, it's great competition. Those guys up front, man, they know whether it's pods and in individual drill or whether we're doing an inside or a team run. Shoot, like, you're going to have to bring your lunch pail because that dude is going to come off the ball. And with Coach Stanchek and the way he has those guys coming off the rock, playing physical and playing with a attitude you want from an offensive line, man, you have no choice but to bring it. Otherwise, you're going to get buried, and it's going to show. So we're really fortunate that we get to go against guys like him every single day, because we think it just makes us that much better.
And now I get to ask Otis, who's here with us, what it's like going against this defense. You tell me, because you've been here at UTEP now. You've been through multiple spring practices and spring camps. What's it been like for you so far this time around?
I want to say that Coach Campbell has done a great job with getting our bodies together. So this defensive line is a lot better than it has in the previous. I want to say that. And I want to shout out a few guys, KD, Bright, Sione, Vita. They all have done a great job coming off the rock, hitting me, you know?
And as far as that offensive line goes, I mean, how, you know, when you're going up against that defensive line, especially the pace of the offense, what you're going to be doing, I mean, the amount of conditioning you guys have to be in, you got to be in the best shape of your life, don't you?
Yes, sir. Very fast. Like I said, Coach Campbell has done a great job of conditioning us very well, so now we're getting used to the tempo and everything.
What have you enjoyed the most so far about this camp and this coaching staff?
The energy they bring. I mean, they're younger, and they can relate to us better, so I really do like that.
Is it hard to explain to fans listening energy level? Because I've seen the energy level. Like, this coaching staff and the man next to you, they're always on, right? It's like it never stops.
It never does. I mean, when we had boot camp, it's 5 a.m. in the morning. They riled up. So it's just like, yeah, it's like that stuff keeps us going and motivates us to be better every day.
Awesome. We got a lot more coming up with both of these gentlemen. We've got a whole hour of UTEP football getting ready for the spring game. Stay with us, folks. Sports Talk continues right after Charlie One in this traffic update. Nineteen past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk with you till 6:30. Then it's Chihuahuas baseball. El Paso taking on Albuquerque tonight, and we'll have Tim Haggerty joining us a little bit later. Meanwhile, UTEP's defensive coordinators and linebackers coach J.J. Clark here with us along with Otis Pitts, minor offensive lineman, talking about the spring game tomorrow. 10 a.m. it gets going, then the garage sale. Have you guys seen the amount of stuff that is outside the concourse of the Sun Bowl for the garage sale tomorrow? Coach, have you seen this yet?
I have. It's pretty remarkable.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We found jerseys that are like 30 years old. It's unreal. I mean, there's got to be there's 800 total jerseys that are going to be for sale tomorrow. 800.
That's wild. I just saw them bringing boxes and truckloads. I couldn't believe it was all for the garage sale. I got to get down there.
It's wild. Otis, you too. I mean, I'm telling you. What was last year your first year? When did you first arrive at UTEP?
2021 was my first year here.
Oh, so you had to wear Nike.
Yeah.
Then that means your jersey's probably there somewhere in the garage sale tomorrow.
It probably is. I hope I have a chance to get it, but
yeah, good luck. Good luck with that one, Otis. I don't know about that so much because, again, there's going to be a lot of people wanting to get that merch, and $5 gets you in. You get a chance to be part of watching the spring game. Here's the toughest thing for me, okay? So, like, they're going to start the garage sale 10 minutes after the football game is over. And I know there's a running clock in the second half. I can't leave my seat tomorrow because I want to watch this game. I want to see what happens. Now, Coach, as you know, not only have practices have been closed to fans, they've been closed to the media. So tomorrow is going to be my first look of what both sides can actually do on the field. And, I mean, you know, I love this garage sale, but I got to watch this game tomorrow because I got to get a chance to finally see what you guys can do.
Yeah, 100%. If there's 800 jerseys, you know, I think you'll be, if you're a little bit late, you'll be able to snag one.
I feel like I'll be okay.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right.
But no, I'm excited. Tell us about the format and how things are going to go tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's going to be as close to a game as we can make it. Like you said, we're going to play normal clock rules in that first half, and then we'll run the clock in the second half as well. We've also got some cool stuff at halftime, you know, just trying to incorporate some of the great alumni of UTEP football. So, there's some points on the line with some of these celebrity guest coaches. We got a 40-yard dash. We got a long toss. We got a tug of war. So 38 points on the line for those guest coaches. So you might, you know, you could go into halftime down 24-0. Well, you could come out of halftime. You win all those, you're going to be up 38-24.
Oh, so you're telling me that you're actually going to utilize the alumni at halftime, and they're playing for their team and their sides.
100%.
Oh, I like that. And now, has this something you've done before at Austin Peay and other stops, or are you just bringing this here to the first time?
There were elements of it, but it's going to be bigger and better. It'll be bigger and better tomorrow.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Officials as well. Are we getting college football officials, or are we getting volunteer officials?
Man, you know what?
I've heard stories already about how the scrimmages have gone. So you tell me, what are we having tomorrow?
No, I think the scrimmages have gone really well. The officials have been awesome. They've been great to me because I'm always out of the coach's box, and they've been nothing but polite. So,
there you go. That's way to keep it politically friendly.
To be honest, I'm not really sure. I know we're going to get 11 on the field on defense that are going to hunt the ball and play really hard. So, you know, hopefully, Coach Brown, then we get a couple holding calls or something like that can slow our offense down, but we'll see.
So, in other words, coaches aren't going to be right. Like, this game is going to be played where coaches are not they're on the sidelines the way a normal game would be. You're not going to see coaches just like in the play, but just farther back, like you sometimes see at some of these scrimmages and games.
No, and that's actually something that we've done with our first two scrimmages that have been closed. Man, Coach Wall makes a point. Man, we're going to make that as much like a game environment as we can. So we're on the sideline, and you know, we want to put our guys in those positions that are very game like. So it's going to be a game like situation for our players tomorrow.
Could you see this becoming an annual thing where the spring game is just like it's going to be tomorrow every single season, so fans can watch this team play a regular style game at the end of spring ball?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a great reward for our players also. You know, they put in 14 grueling practice days, and they want to go play the game. They want to be able to go play. And I think it's great for our fans and great for, again, for our alumni, for our university, just to be able to showcase, you know, our program. And again, it's a chance to put our brand on display and let people see what we're building.
I've heard intensity is just what it's all about. That these, I mean, you can't show up to a practice or a scrimmage and not be intense. Like, it feeds from you right into the players. Is that the best way to describe it?
I hope so. I hope so. And I think we've really built an environment where that's the expectation. Where, it's not like we're going to start practice with guys kind of wandering onto the field, strapping up their shoulder pads and their helmet. Man, we're going to blow the whistle. We're going to take the field. We're going to stretch, and then we're on. We are blowing and going from period number one on. And that's just kind of the culture. That's the mindset. That's the way we do everything.
How many former players, not former, I know there's 25 former players, but how many recruits are going to be out there tomorrow and checking this out?
Man, it should be close to 50 tomorrow, and some really high profile prospects. So we've got an official visit weekend going on this weekend as well. So we're excited. We're excited about the level of talent that's going to be around our program tomorrow. That's for sure.
I've seen what you all do with prospects coming in here as far as recruiting visits. You pull out all the stops. I've never seen the Durham Center look like it does when everybody's jumping around, going crazy. You got a whole video team shooting. I mean, You want to make these athletes feel as big time as possible when they arrive here at UTEP, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. We think we just have a tremendous product to sell. You know, I say all the time, our coaching staff says it all the time, we think UTEP football is the best kept secret in college football. Not in the Group of Five, not in the state of Texas, in all of college football, with the Sun Bowl, with the university that we have, with the backing, the people that are around our program, the facilities, upgrades, and things like that. We think there's no, you know, it's no mistake, no accident that we signed the number one recruiting class in school history, but also in Conference USA this last cycle. And it's because we have so much that we can sell and offer. So, you know, it is. We don't think, hey, we're trying to make them feel big time. We're like, hey, you're coming to UTEP, and you are going to be big time. You are going to play big time college football, Division I, FBS, college football.
So tell me, okay, top three things when you sell the program to a student athlete, top three, what are they in order?
Yeah, I think it starts with number one, the experience that you're going to get here. And I think you can't talk about experience without talking about the people. All right, so that one, it starts with our head football coach and our coaching staff, because people make the place. You know, you can go to the nicest facilities, the nicest place, nicest stadium, best jerseys, whatever. All right, after about a week, after about 2 weeks, none of that stuff's really going to matter, mm-hmm. right? That stuff fades. But the quality of people, the character of the people that you're around, and the relationships that you have, that is that's something that is going to withstand the test of time. All right, and when things are really, really hard, you're not going to think, man, I'm going to play hard, or I'm going to stick it out because I got a great jersey. You're going to be, man, I'm going to do that for Coach Brown. I'm going to do that for Otis. I'm going to do that for the people that are in this program. So that is the number one thing that we're going to sell. The next thing we'll talk about is development, right? Holistic development. We've got a great three-pronged blueprint, the way we develop players on the football field, but then also we've got a very specific blueprint for the way that we're going to develop players off the field. We want them leaving UTEP football as men built to last, ready to go make an impact, and just on a great trajectory to take on life. And then the next thing is purely the football side of things. You're going to come here, you're going to compete, we're going to go win a whole heck of a lot of games, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. So those three things, those are the three things that come to mind when I think about, hey, selling our program. And then, hey, the close fourth is El Paso. All right, El Paso, you got to come here, you got to see it to believe it, because we think it is an absolutely unbelievable city to live in, unbelievable city to go to school in and play football in.
I'll say this too, okay? It seems like it was just yesterday, but 20 years ago, when Mike Price first arrived, and he won 8 games each of those first 2 years, and UTEP went to back-to-back bowl games, they put 50,000 people in the Sun Bowl every single night. The place was packed. You had, it seemed like you had RVs forever. Everybody was tailgating, you know, for as long as you could imagine. ESPN was here. They had UTEP in the top 25. This was a hotbed. Now, again, 20 years ago, but if it was done then, it can be done now. And this city is so starved for a winner, Coach, that if you can pull that off, whether it's this year, next year, whenever it is, you're going to see those benefits. And you're going to see people that starting tomorrow at the spring game just are excited because they realize it's something different, it's something fresh, and as long as those W's start to follow, you're going to see the Sun Bowl continue to grow and grow as that place gets become a very difficult place to play.
Yeah, and that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do, and it starts by putting a product on the field that we can be proud of, that the city of El Paso and our university can be proud of. And you know, we have a saying in our program, we talk about all the time: process over results. We want to have those, you know, 8-win, 9-win, shoot, 10-win seasons. We want to go compete for the college football playoff. We're going to set our goals really, really high, but we don't focus on that. We want to focus on the daily process. What is it going to take to get there? What is it going to take to get there? What does it take on a Tuesday night when we're doing position meetings, or a Tuesday night when we're doing a run through, or a Wednesday morning when we're doing a specialty period or a wee fence period? Yeah. What can we control in that moment? That in that process that is ultimately going to drive us to those results.
Excellent. Coach, it's great to see you. Thanks for dropping in. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. the spring game. It's going to be a great day. $5 to get in. You get a chance to be a part of the game, get a chance to be part of the garage sale, and most important, get to see this team for the first time. Why do you want to wait till September in Nebraska when you get an opportunity to watch them play here tomorrow?
Man, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's going to be an unbelievable day, beautiful day in the Sun Bowl. All right, orange and blue team going at it. I'm Team Orange, so hey, go Team Orange. I'll see you guys there tomorrow morning.
I meet your Heather Wilson's team, right, Dr. Yeah. Wilson?
Yes, sir.
Listen, you can't disappoint the president.
No,
you realize that, right?
No doubt.
All right, Coach. Take care. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
You got it. J.J. Clark, folks, the Utah defensive coordinator, linebackers coach. When we come back, Coach Brown's going to be with us. We're going to talk offense with Otis as well. But first, want to send it back to the studios. Here he is, Alberto Urueta. He's got a bottom-of-the-hour SportsCenter update for us.
I'm Alberto Urueta with your 600 ESPN El Paso SportsCenter update. Let's go to some NBA news. Coben Porter, the younger brother of Denver Nuggets star Michael Porter Jr., was sentenced Friday to 6 years in prison for a drunk driving crash that killed a woman in Colorado last year. The January 2023 crash in Denver killed Kathy Limon Rothman and seriously injured her passenger, Porter, who caused the crash after he ran a red light and slammed into the other vehicle, received an additional two-year sentence for the passenger's injuries that he will serve concurrently. Now, over to some college basketball. Duke forward Sean Stewart, a former top 20 recruit in the 2023 class, announced Friday that he plans to enter the transfer portal, becoming the seventh Blue Devils player to transfer since the end of the season. Stewart's announcement comes less than a day after fellow freshman TJ Power decided to enter the portal. Now over to some MLB news. The Federal Aviation Administration and the United Airlines are investigating an incident involving the Colorado Rockies during a charter flight from Denver to Toronto. In a since-deleted video posted to social media, Rockies hitting coach Hensley Mullins is seen sitting in the pilot's seat in the cockpit while the plane is in flight. Quote, had some fun in the cockpit on our flight from Denver to Toronto, thanks to the captain and the first officer of our United charter that allowed me this great experience, Mullins wrote in the caption for the social media post that prompted an investigation. Now over to some NFL news. New York Jets quarterback Zach Wilson on the trading block since the start of the offseason is skipping voluntary workouts as he remains in limbo with the NFL draft approaching next week. This was your SportsCenter update from 600 ESPN El Paso.
All right, thank you very much for that, Alberto. Alberto Urueta with that as we continue here on the show. So we go from defense to offense. From J.J. Clark to Jake Brown, the Miners offensive coordinator, wide receivers coach as well. Coach Brown, appreciate you stopping in, and thanks for spending the next half hour with us on the show.
Definitely, I appreciate y'all having us on.
And one constant the whole time is Otis Pitts sticks around as well, so happy about that. And I'm going to get back to Otis in a moment, but I got to ask you, now that you've had a chance to work with him over the last month plus with spring practice, what's impressed you the most about what he's been able to do on the O-line?
You know, since we showed up here day one, it's just the consistency with Otis. Every day he shows up to work, his effort, his attitude, it's just consistent. You know, before we even got in the spring ball, we're in the weight room, really getting to know the guys. That's one thing you notice about Otis. And then, you know, carries over into spring now through 14 practices, same thing every day. He's going to show up, ready to work, great effort, and it's just a consistent, consistent player.
I'll tell you what else, though. Otis, as we all know, when the coaching change happened, you went into the transfer portal trying to weigh your options, but you decided to come back. And I think that's the most important thing. Was it that first time you had a chance to talk to Scotty and the coaching staff when you realized this is absolutely the place where you need to continue to grow as a college football player?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Coach Walton had a meeting with us, with all the old players, and after the meeting, I went to talk to him, and I really had a great conversation with him. I was like, okay, I want to play for this guy. So that's one of the main reasons why I stayed.
Well, good. And I'm telling you, it's paying off for you because you've had a great spring. We're looking forward to seeing you in the fall. In fact, there's a wing eating contest we're talking about. Coach, are you aware of this now or
no,
not yet?
I have not heard about the wing eating contest.
Okay,
no.
So let me put a little backtrack on this. So here's the deal. Cade McConnell is our spring intern, and he's been with us really since last year and developed a really good rapport on this radio show and told us that Otis said he could eat how many wings was it altogether?
125 wings in 2 hours.
125 wings in 2 hours. So, Coach, we thought about this, and we said, you know what? We could actually make that happen. We've got plenty of local restaurants we work with that I'm sure would love to be part of this, where they would supply us the 125 wings. He would just sit down, and we put the running clock on him and see if he could actually eat that number of wings, because that would have to be some kind of a local record, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I would love to see it.
I think all of us would. Now, my question is, as offensive coordinator, as long as it's not during fall season and spring workouts, as long as it's during the off season, would you be okay if Otis decides to eat 125 wings?
Absolutely, yeah. If as long as we can book it maybe like in May or something like that.
We'll do it during the summer when he's here and not having to worry about anything too much. That'll be good.
I'll be there for motivational support, Otis.
I like that. What's the most number of wings you've ever eaten in any like period of time when you've sat down? What's the most you can recall?
I'll say a cool like 50. I'll say a cool 50. But like, you know, I'm a college student, so yeah.
I got you. So you think that because you're a college student, you could easily double your wing intake and
I
go
feel
from
like I can.
50 to 125.
I feel like I can. Look.
Breaded or naked?
Naked.
Naked wings. Naked. Are they, do you any kind of like a hot sauce on those or what are we thinking?
Maybe some, like some plain, some barbecue.
Okay.
Maybe.
You some plain and some barbecue, yeah.
Just give me some water on the side. That'd be cool.
All right, I like that. I'm fascinated by this. I'm horrified and fascinated at the same time. So I feel like watching you eat 125 wings over 2 hours would be a good show one day. So we might have to work on that. We will keep in touch and see if we can make that happen. Is there anybody on the team that you feel could out eat you in terms of wings? Anybody that's got a bigger appetite than you?
Illumina Kelly.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Coach, you agree with that?
I would love to see that. I would love to see
almost
that.
Almost like an eat-off between
right.
the two.
That's right.
All right. Maybe we can do maybe we give each 100 and we see who's the first one to finish it. You like that idea?
Yeah, hey.
All right.
It could happen.
All right. I'll see what I can do. I really will. Coach, offensive-wise, this team has been, growing each and every day, each and every practice. This is actually going to be your third scrimmage, the spring game, because you've had two previous scrimmages the last couple of Saturdays. What's impressed you the most with how this team has grown every time out?
You know, just the execution. You know, scrimmage one, you know, we want to keep it simple, let the guys go out there and just execute and play and really – for us as coaches to be able to evaluate the talent. And then, you know, the scrimmage too, you know, just how much they grew within a week. You know, for some of them, it's a brand-new offense. For some guys, they've been in the offense.
Yeah.
But just now, you go to scrimmage two, and it looks like everybody, they're coming together. They're trusting the process of what we're doing offensively, you know, why we're doing what we're doing. And then really just the camaraderie of the offense, you know, the effort, getting them out there playing together, fighting through adversity together, and really excited to see you know, tomorrow in the spring game, especially that blue team, right, Otis?
Yes, sir. Hey, let's go blue team.
That's right.
That's right. And by the way, it's interesting how things have been divided up. I like this because from what I've understood, you've got some guys playing with the first team offensive line, maybe the second team wide receivers. You got second team O-line with the first team wide receivers, and you kind of mixed it up a little bit so it's not number ones against number two, so to speak, Coach.
Exactly right. Yeah, we want to keep it as evenly matched as possible. It's going to be competitive. It really is. You know, you look at the rosters and, man, it could go either way. It's going to really – who shows up and executes and gets after it.
And guys are fighting for jobs. I mean, that's the biggest thing is that I know nothing's going to be decided after tomorrow, but you want to look good so going into fall practice, you feel like you're the front runner to try to break camp as a starter in that first game against Nebraska.
Absolutely. Every day is an evaluation for coaches, players, everybody. And so, you know, not just – this is practice 15. It just happens to be the spring game, but, you know, opportunity 1 through 14, each one of those is an evaluation. You know, some days – you know, you come out of practice and one guy's ahead of the other. Next day, he goes back to number two. You know, we're constantly changing the depth chart. We're constantly keeping it competitive. And after the spring game, going into the summer, you know, it's still every day's an evaluation. And people will change throughout the summer. So you got to show up and, like, talk about Otis, every day, show up with your best and, you know, consistency.
And I feel like that's the case. There's so much competition on the line with newcomers, returnees, because even if you've played at UTEP the last few seasons, like Otis, you realize that these coaches are seeing you for the first time. So it doesn't matter how many games you've started before. It's almost like, okay, they're looking at you like they've never seen you before. And if you don't play well, you might not find yourself starting the first game of the season.
That's right. You know, you could have been a starter here last year, could have been a starter wherever you transferred here from. It's a fresh start for everybody. You know, we're seeing them, like you just said, brand new. And every day we're evaluating them. So, you could end up starting again. Who knows? It's how you show up and prepare every day and then also buy into our culture and our process.
Yeah, we're going to come back. We're going to wrap things up here with both the members of the UTEP football team. If you've got any questions, 505-6009, now is the time to get in. More with Jake Brown, Otis Pitts, as we continue. 600 ESPN El Paso. Start of our final hour here on Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody. Steve Kaplowitz joining you from our River Oaks property, Schoolyard Sports Studios, along with Alberto Dueta, who I hope doesn't take an Uber the rest of the weekend. I hope to God that's the case. But nonetheless, hey, man, we are hanging with you through the rest of the half, the bottom of the hour, and that's when Tim Haggerty will give us Chihuahuas baseball. In fact, Hags will also have story time for us. Do we have story time music for Hags? Are you ready for that when he joins us in about 15 minutes? Do you have the story time theme ready?
I'll get that ready for Tim.
Okay, please, because yes, it's he asked for it the last time we did it. He said, "Where's the music?" And then all of a sudden, the music kicked in, and he was in his He was in the right mindset. He's got to have the music. He's got to have the theme for story time. Hey, good hour. Appreciate UTEP football. Enjoy. I've never met Jake Brown. I've never met J.J. Clark before. Good to have them both here with us on the show. I enjoyed the conversation. I am more excited about tomorrow than probably any of you because I haven't seen this team yet. It is my first opportunity to see the offense and the defense firsthand. And really looking forward to it. Can't wait for our coverage as well on 600 ESPN El Paso beginning at 9:45 with the countdown to kickoff. And then 10 a.m. You will have our game coverage at Sun Bowl Stadium with our crew. We tested today, and it sounded great. We got the full experience tomorrow with Mondo on the sidelines and John and Cole in the booth. And it's going to be fun, folks. All those former players, players for the first time we get to see. I've seen the rosters now for both the orange and the blue. And now that I've kind of seen this firsthand and realize what we're going to be dealing with, and both those two coaches, we've got Coach Brown on the blue, Coach Clark on the orange side. It's a big deal. And I know for the coaching staff, for the players, it's their chance to give the fans that are going to be there their first impression as far as what to expect this football season. So for that alone, you realize that, tomorrow is going to be a big one. And like a lot of us, excited. The garage sale will be the greatest garage sale
of all time.
Of all time. Yeah. And it's not even close. Like, they've got 800 jerseys.
Brand new gear.
The football jerseys alone are amazing. Amazing. Because it's not even all the Nike stuff. They've got jerseys. They've got Russell jerseys before the Nike stuff even was worn.
That's the good stuff. And you know what? I don't think anyone, I haven't heard this mentioned, and what are the odds they have a jersey worn by Aaron Jones?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. If there's any 29s left,
it's his.
Probably. Yep. Yeah, I would think so. But yes. I will say this. You know what was really cool today when I took a sneak peek? Remember the gray jerseys they wore when Aaron had that? They made those replica jerseys?
Yes.
They've got those gamers that are going to be available tomorrow.
I'm excited for that.
Those gray game jerseys, I haven't seen those in 1,000 years. Those are going to be out there. They've got Texas Western jerseys.
The basketball ones.
And the football jerseys. Mm-hmm. They do. They've got all the Nike jerseys you can imagine. It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be phenomenal. And you know what? It has my mind, it's piqued my interest. Is UTEP going to maybe in the football season have a little booth in the stadium for customizations of jerseys. If you have over 800 jerseys and what, you grab 200 of them and you get people to put their names on them. I used to work as someone who used to work at Fanatics and make Astros jerseys for I think it's like 170 plus.
Yeah.
People love that kind of stuff, the customization of the jerseys, and I think that would be a great.
No, they're not customizing jerseys tomorrow.
I said in the football season, you give people a chance to be like, oh, I want this or I want that.
So you're saying buy a blank jersey and then go get it customized at the game?
Yeah, you could put your name on it or you could put a saying or Orange Swarm. You could put whatever.
Or you can go to places in town that do that and just get it done there as well.
Yeah, but when you go through the means at UTEP, is you're donating your money to different. You give your money to the organization.
That's interesting.
That's half the bit.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to the phones right now, 505-6009, and say hello to Fernie, who joins us next. Fernie, what's going on, man? How are you?
Well, I want to go buy stuff. But, I mean, I want to watch part of the game, maybe. But, I mean, what time do you guys think the game is going to be over? Because I guess
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. You guys are, well, not you guys, but it's been publicized that the sale starts at what, 1 o'clock?
Well, I mean, it's whenever the game. It's whenever the game ends.
10 minutes.
I mean, 10 minutes after the game ends. And the truth is, I don't know what time the game ends. I've just been told it's going to go anywhere from probably 2.5 to 3 hours long. That's what I've been told. So first half is going to be played with the clock stopping like a regular game. Second half will have a running clock. So maybe it's a little faster than 3 hours, but probably, between 12:30 and 1. Look, here's the deal. They've got about 1,500 people that are already going to be attending the spring game tomorrow. $5 a pop. Yeah. $5 a pop, Fernie. Now, think about it, okay? There's going to be a bunch of those people lined up, and they're going to miss the second half of that game because they want gear. They want to get that gear, and they're going to line up because they want to make sure that they're first in line.
I've gotten reports.
That's my biggest thing there. I get it, and I want to get some stuff, some used stuff, actually. I'm not looking for new stuff, but I'm looking for some jerseys or T-shirts or shorts or something like that,
Fernie, but, it's the most incredible. Listen.
I know. Hey, Steve, I know in the past I've heard that it's been like crazy, like hours or something trying to get some stuff. So I don't even know if it's worth it.
It's worth it. You go, let's put it this way, okay? They got 800 jerseys. So here's my plan. I'm just going to tell you my plan tomorrow, right? I'm going to go to the game. I'm going to watch the spring game. I am not leaving the spring game until it's over. And I'm going to sit in the Sun Bowl for an hour and a half, wait for everybody to get through their stuff, see what's left, and I guarantee you there's going to be a ton of stuff left when everybody's done. They have 10,000 items.
I know. I see. Let me ask you, man, if you could get a jersey, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, which one would you get?
I've seen them all there, okay? I'm going to get a jersey I could actually wear. So for me, that's going to be one of the early 90s gamers, or at least mid to late 90s gamers. In other words, before they started wearing the tight form-fitting jerseys with all that elastic that's cut to their bodies so that you can't grab at them. Nowadays, you can't wear the jerseys today. If you get a gamer today, you're framing it, you're putting it on your wall, you're getting the team to sign it, stuff like that. You can't wear it. But
hey, let me.
Yeah.
Just one more question. Do they do, I mean, this is like from a long time ago or something like that, or maybe they have them, baseball jerseys?
They don't have anything from the mid-80s. They've got softball jerseys. They don't have any baseball jerseys, unfortunately. But let me say this. They found, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Tyranno Singleton's jersey today.
Oh, really?
Tyranno and I went to high school together at Coronado. He graduated UTEP. He graduated UTEP in 95. That jersey is 30 years old, and they found it. And I texted Tyranno, and I said, guess what? UTEP found your jersey today. So they're gonna, so they're mailing it to him out in California where he lives today. But the point is, that's how far back some of these jerseys go. They go back 30 years.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You know, it'd be so cool if they came up with a baseball jersey. Yeah, I know we don't have a baseball program, but, I mean, if that was somewhere in there, you know, from the 70s or something, early 80s, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, it'd be sick. In fact, I don't know. I mean, Fernie, we're the same age. Do you remember going to places like Big Wally's and the Surf Club in the early 90s, and they used to have those old-school UTEP jerseys from, like, the 70s and 80s on the walls?
Oh, yeah, man. I go, you know what? If they could come up with, like, oh, God, that would be so cool. But, I mean, you know, that's not going to happen, but...
All I could tell you is this. The jerseys, they have every jersey that's been worn in terms of styles over the last 30 years available tomorrow at the garage sale. Like,
okay,
my only question is,
I mean, I can understand 1 year, but, like, every year, I mean, where do they come up with these jerseys? I mean, where are they storing these things?
Yeah, they store them up. I mean, think about it.
They have a huge storage unit just full of stuff.
And not only that, not only do they have a huge storage unit, they switch jerseys out. Well, what do you think they do with the jerseys when they switch them out? Some of them might be given to players, but a lot of those are just put away in a box, and then they're put, you know, and they're stored up, and then they're unearthed. Now, here's the interesting thing, Fernie. They could have taken tomorrow, and they could have taken a portion of what they had and offered it for sale, and then done another one later in the year. But they're blowing it all out in one day.
One sitting.
Well, then do some online stuff too, man. I mean,
No. You can't do that.
Come
you gotta
on, man.
Listen,
come on.
Online. First off, let me tell you why you can't do online. Number one, do you know what a pain in the ass it is to try to log all of that online stuff and then build websites out and build inventory? That would take months upon months. Nah, you gotta listen, Fernie. Don't be lazy. Get your butt over to the Sun Bowl tomorrow and go buy stuff.
All right. Hey, man, it's been talking good. I mean, it's been good talking to you guys later.
I'll see you tomorrow, Fernie. All right. Come on. Listen, Fernie, don't be lazy. Like, online. No. Go out there. And by the way, why would you not want to be at the Sun Bowl tomorrow to see this football team for the first time? Like, listen, the garage sale's great. Okay, it's great. And you want to know something? If I went to the garage show and I was the first person in line, I'd probably spend $1,500 without even blinking an eye on stuff. So that's right out of the gate. I mean, the jerseys themselves are $100 a pop. They're all gamers. They've got warm-ups. They've got T-shirts. They've got socks. They've got shoes. They've got hats. They've got every polos. They've got everything you could imagine at this garage sale tomorrow. Everything's there. But the point is, I want to watch the game.
Yeah.
Like, I, as much as I want to buy gear, I care more about what I see in that spring game than I do anything else. That, I am so curious about this team, that's my number one reason for going to the Sun Bowl tomorrow. Listen, the garage sale is great. It's gravy. But for me, I just want to go ahead and watch this football team play.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are more interested in the sports aspect, that's what they want. You haven't been able to watch practice, and that's frustrating, especially when in years past things are a little different. So I'm also excited to see, you know, obviously our very own Cade McConnell get out there and fling it. I'm excited to see the offensive weapons that they've brought in and how those guys react and how they look in the Sun Bowl and everything. And I'm also obviously excited for the apparel. And I think that this community and this fan base, kind of just going off of what Fernie says, they're hungry. They're hungry for apparel that they've been kind of starved from. There's, for example, when we were with Nike, you'd go on Nike and you'd go UTEP, and they don't have anything. Go on Adidas and you go UTEP, and they don't have anything. So
this is your chance.
I think that this is your chance to get a bunch of stuff. And guess what? You're going to get a bunch of stuff that's Nike. That's the better, quote unquote, the better stuff. Which is that's a whole other topic. But
it's amazing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I need to be careful. I won't be making my way over there because it'll put me in financial ruin. I want to have a little bit of everything.
I understand. I get you. You'd be in debt. It's like going to college all over again. Same thing. All right, listen, I'm excited about story time with Hags. It's next, right after Charlie One. One last traffic update. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues heading into the weekend. 600 ESPN El Paso. You know what time it is, folks. That music means only one thing. It's a Friday. It's story time. Let's send it out to Southwest University Park and get the latest tale from the voice of your El Paso Chihuahuas. He's the one and only Tim Haggerty.
Steve, today's story time is about parachuting cats. A colony on the island of Borneo was infested by rats in 1960. The rats were destroying crops, and nobody could stop them. Many of the cats that had occupied Borneo died from an insecticide that was sprayed to kill mosquitoes. So that brings us to Operation Cat Drop. That was the official name. The United Kingdom's Royal Air Force, this colony belonged to the UK, they collected a few dozen cats in Singapore, placed them humanely in crates, put them in an airplane, and dropped the cats by parachutes into the region infested by rats. And I'm just imagining looking up into the sky and seeing a cat parachuting toward me. And over time, the rat infestation stopped, and the program was deemed a success. My question for you guys is, were these called parachutes?
Oh, listen to you. Listen to you. Now, this takes us back to, what, 1960, right? Right about that time
right.
of year? So, by the way, my question is that if you drop cats via parachute, now, I guess, how did you open, like, they were delivered in crates, and they were being dropped by the parachutes. How did the parachutes open on their way down out of the, in the crate, out of the plane?
Yeah, you probably can't train a cat on when to pull the chute. So what I'm envisioning is, do you remember like those little toy plastic army guys that had little small strings and they were attached to a parachute and you would just drop it, you know, off a staircase or something? Like maybe right when they dropped the cats, the chute was already open.
You think that's what they would do? They would open the, they would basically open the parachute as the cats were falling?
I just can't see any other way, unless it was on some sort of timer. I mean, we can't trust Garfield here to win to pull it, right?
That's true. Unfortunately, we don't have really any type of footage from this because it was in 1960. Nobody really ever recorded taping these cats parachuting out.
I mean, my biggest question, Steve, and I liked your question about, you know, what are these, what was the mechanics of the actual parachute, but it seems like there was so many other ways to get these cats into Borneo, such as a ship.
Yes.
And then you just set them free on land. Why they had to be dropped into certain areas, that's the part I couldn't figure out. But they actually parachuted these cats down.
What I can't believe is this, okay? 1 week... you're talking about birds being used to deliver certain items, okay? Hero birds, right? Those were...
Right.
Well, those were pigeons.
Carrier pigeons.
Carrier pigeons.
War heroes.
Right. War heroes. Carrier pigeons. In fact, you actually found pigeons in your home 2 days after story time, and you almost thought it was like a message from God.
Yes. I took a little heat for my praise of pigeons that week. Some people heard that.
Yes.
I know one of your tweeters called them rats with wings.
Yes.
I totally disagree. If the listening audience Googles pigeons and what they're capable of, they are amazing creatures, and I'm going to die on that hill. But it's interesting. I had not thought about that. That 1 week we talked about pigeons, and now today we're talking about parachuting cats. That's an accidental theme. I did not seek out back-to-back animal story times. It just happened that way.
Christian is listening to the segment, and he is texting into Sports Talk. How did the crate open when it landed?
Christian, what I'm picturing is they get the cats in Singapore, put them in crates, put the crates in the plane, and then while on the plane, you take them out of the crate in individual parachutes and drop them down. I don't think the crates went down with the cats.
Now,
is that what you're picturing, Steve?
Here's what I was told. They said that they were delivered in crates dropped by parachutes, as part of this program. So if you're delivering crates, like cats in crates dropped by parachutes, how does that thing, like, again, I this whole thing is fascinating. I feel like we need more we need more research on this. We need to do our homework and really explore Operation Cat Drop in bigger detail.
Yeah, I found out early this morning. You know, as always, I wake up very, very early on Fridays and get cranking on story time. And Operation Cat Drop has had a lot of coverage over the years. So I do think the answer is probably out there.
Okay.
Do you have any contacts with UK's Royal Air Force?
I haven't in a while. It's been a long time since I've spoken to them.
I know you've had a lot of guests over the years. Didn't know you went there, but they would know.
Maybe there's a retired former UK Air Force man in El Paso. Who knows? Maybe we can get to the bottom of this story. We got baseball coming up, bottom of the hour. El Paso, Albuquerque continuing their series. So get ready. Chihuahuas and Isotopes coming up here in just 3 minutes. Excellent job as always, Tim. Tim Haggerty back with the call next as we continue with Chihuahuas baseball.